the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey West Weekly, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. Stop in for lunch, cater your next event, or just buy a couple of bottles of our award-winning sauces. HC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. The TAG Creative Group. Search TGRANRUD at redbubble.com and let us create a unique design for you or your business. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations around the world. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly with locations in Tempe and Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. College Hockey Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. Jets Pizza. Sign up for our Crunch Club at jetspizza.com and have special deals delivered to your inbox. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Weekly from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans, to another Tuesday night, another episode of College Hockey West Weekly. Scott Strandy with you tonight in St. Louis, Missouri. My co-host, as always, from that big, beautiful palatial estate out on Long Island, New York. Paul, how are things? And have you seen as many hockey games this week in person as I have?
No, I don't get to see any games in person.
You never
keep me locked up in the basement. You have me slave driving a 16 right now.
When you're in, when you're in the estate, I get it, man. You don't want to leave. You got all the comforts of, you know, whatever you need.
I have no comforts. I don't have a window. I don't have anything.
Okay, let's jump right into this because our guest is already locked in. He texted me just a couple minutes ago. This is so he goes, "Hey, we just got off the ice." I'm going like, "Take your time. It's no rush." He goes, "Okay, I'm trying to join the show right now." I'm going like, "What part of you have time do you not understand?" But anyway, I guess when you're the associate head coach from Colorado College, you just you're just full of energy, especially this time of year. So let's not mess around. Let's bring Peter Menino on if he's ready.
Yeah,
Peter. I got a couple of things that we got to ask you first. Are you ready?
Yep. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. <I'm> clear.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, sorry about that.
Number one. So we had Caden the Sponge and Barrett go on. And after he was done, you sent me some messages. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe I need to talk to Caden about this. So he goes, "Would you ask Menino if he stole my Crocs, the yellow ones? And if he's the one that can't get out of Garden of the Gods."
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm kidding you. I didn't tell him that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because he, I wonder, is it true that his Crocs disappear or this was makeup?
I'm okay. Just making that up.
Yeah, he's got some
my
really.
My kids took him.
He's got some beautiful, bold, yellow Crocs, and they have those little charms that you plug in on there, and he loves rocking those in the room. So I'm
love it.
Yep.
Okay. The other thing is, you know how that saying goes, when something happens that's unexpected, it probably isn't going to happen unless hell freezes over. You've heard that before, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I was going to come to Colorado College this weekend, but when the Tigers get to play at home for the first time in a while, for a quarterfinal playoff series, apparently Armageddon hits with snow and you're going to get like 18 inches. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It was funny. we've been getting these notifications like since yesterday or the day before. It's just been like, winter storm warning. And it went from like 6 to 8 to 12. So we'll see. We're used to it. You know, we're Colorado hard and we'll see where it goes from there. So.
Okay, so you're bringing in the guys from Omaha early or what? They're going to get there by tomorrow or what?
I would assume that their plan is to get in here tomorrow, just in general. You know, they usually come a couple days early for playoffs, so that's what their arrival time would be, yeah. Okay. We'll see.
okay, here's what we brought you on. You guys are red hot. And Paul said last weekend was one of the most enjoyable hockey weekends he's ever seen in college hockey with you and the Denver Pioneers. Tell us about Friday and Saturday night, a 4-3 win for you guys at home, and then a 4-3 win for them at Magnus.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the rivalry is so special. Those games, you know, everything you have, you know, from fans to just the excitement of the series, especially where we're both, you know, in a really nice position from a national ranking and whatnot. There's a ton of relevancy in the college hockey world. Then you bring one of, if not the biggest college hockey rivals to the table at the end of the season. It's kind of what it's all about. And that's where it was. I mean, you look at the crowd, the pictures, the videos on Friday, it was electric. Can't speak highly enough of, you know, our fans from walk-ups, season ticket holders to the students. It was unreal. And the players fed off of that. Even if you saw that start to the game, they did a nice job of checking back in after getting scored on right away. And the boys, it's been all year, you know, you've used the word resilient, and we showed that, and guys stuck with it, and it was a heck of a win. Denver made a really nice push at the end. And that was senior night. Always special to have a nice win on senior night in front of the, you know, all those parents and our fans stuck around. So big credit to them. And then heading out there Saturday, you know, it was right back at it from the war standpoint. And we just kind of kept going back and forth. We had an unfortunate stick break from Jack Millar that ended up right on their stick, which they buried on. And that's what they do. You know, they're offensively gifted. They stay with it. You know, by the third, they had a hard push. You could see that, and credit to them. But it was a close game. You know, they score kind of midway, just over the midway point of the third, and take control of that game, and they finish it off 4-3. So it's kind of a really cool weekend with both games that went all the way right to the end. And you know, that those are good games to prime going into playoffs. So we feel really really good about that, but we got a little burn, obviously, losing the last regular season of the game. So guys are excited to get after it against UNL.
Listen, I'm just going to say this, and I said this to Scott as a give me more, just I mean, give me more, yeah. More of those of those games like that this past weekend. I mean, they were so much fun. So much fun. Every puck battle, like you said, unfortunately, you know, they got a break with Denver got a break with the stick breaking, but I mean, it's just God, the intensity and the skill level and this just the whole thing. I mean, yeah. That's the closest I've seen, really, and it was a playoff game of sorts, but that's as close to a couple of games that are like game sevens and game sixes in the NHL playoffs. I mean, maybe Ooh. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you, I mean, obviously you felt it because you just said you did, and I just. Every sports fan that's not a hockey fan needed to be at one of those two games this weekend, and you never want to go to anything else.
Yeah, no, that's cool to hear, and we definitely felt it. You know, you definitely felt it from our end, and again, like the rivalry, you guys see the numbers between Denver, CC, and Michigan State. It's yeah. One game away or whatever. It might be tied now again after that last game. Yeah. And that, I mean, that's a lot of games. It goes way back, you know, way back into the different eras of all the programs. But, you know, and it's you look at the programs, right? Like Denver's been a benchmarker for college hockey success, and credit to them. And everybody's, you know, sees that. So when you're a program that is their biggest rival, you want to be that, you know, and that's been the goal, is to get this program back up to be a national contender, go after a national championship. And then within doing that, that just ramps up that rivalry from a competitive standpoint. And I think we've really shown that early in the year, they jumped us in those first two games. We were still, you know, we're freshmen, sophomore heavy. Our seniors did the best they could, seniors and juniors, to be like, hey, this is real. You know, the NCHC in Denver is going to come at us. And then here you are at the end of the year, you can see both teams mature, an identity for each one. And yeah, again, huge credit to the fans, both here and there. It was unbelievable live. It was very electric. You could feel the energy. So,
Peter, let me ask you about a few players that are really jumping out. And I tell Paul this all the time, and I see Max Burkholder on defense, and goodness gracious, that kid, is he really a freshman? Or do you, yeah, you just stockpile him somewhere, because he does not play like a freshman?
Yeah, Max. BK is the nickname to him because there's two Berkeys with him, Barrickle and Burkholder. So we had a little bit of that controversy early in the year, you know. But you look at Max's junior career. He played 3 years for the Dubuque Fighting Saints. Shout out to Kale Larson, their general manager, does a fantastic job. And he spent 3 years, and it was a bit of a journey, right? Like, each year was different. Each year he grew, and by the end of it, he led the USHL for defensemen in goals and was, I think, second in points. And he didn't stop. Like, you know, the piece to him when it came to adapting to college was just speed and the strength, you know, of how these opposing players are. So we've done a lot of work on like the foundation piece of his defending. And he works at it. And I just 15 minutes ago, he said, when are we doing video tomorrow? So credit to him. And then, you guys see his offensive abilities, his edges. Yeah, the way he can turn, spin. I mean, he's got a crazy backhand. We're trying to get him more onto his forehand because it's dangerous. And when he can get that puck off on the power play, it's beautiful. So a lot of credit to him. Man, I mean, we're excited for playoffs, having him in a good place and the future of CC's in a good place, right? So, yeah.
Okay, here's my second one. Zachariah Wisdom. All of a sudden, that freshman grew up to be a sophomore real quick. And I know once you pass the midway point, you're really past that freshman stuff. But goodness gracious, the play of that kid. And were you telling me he can dunk a basketball too?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I had that ready for you guys. You would have had Embarico spinning on that. Like, you would have seen a different kid on a podcast. You'd be like, man, let me tell you. And he would have got all fired up. But next time. And the story is, they both, in front of the whole athletic, it was a bunch of other teams from the athletic group, and Wiz grabbed the ball, and this was like initial, you know, first week and all that, and a bunch of the students were in there meeting the teams, and Wiz grabs the ball, goes and dunks it, and then Barrico was like, yeah, give me that ball, let me show you how to do it, and then he missed in front of everybody. So... Wiz has got swag. I mean, he's a special human being. His mom, Mari, she raised Zachariah and his brother, Zayd. They're both NHL draft picks. They've pushed through adversity, and there's a special story to Zachariah. He's an incredible person. I always say that first, because that's what's behind the mask that people don't know about. I think he's going to play in the NHL. I believe in it. He does. And you guys just see the surface of a freshman coming to light. But 2 years in the USHL, had almost 30 goals his second year. There's no mistake there. So we love Z. He's Z Wiz, the Wizard. That's what his junior coach called him. He's awesome, and we're excited to have him. So,
all right, my last one, and then I'll let Paul jump in, I promise, if he's nice enough. Anyway, you're forward from Latvia. I'm not even going to attempt this name. So you tell me who number 24 is, and just how good is this Latvian, because he's also come on over the last month and a half.
Yeah, it's awesome you say that. I was calling him Weinbergs in one meeting. We were doing a power play meeting, and he was like, Weinbergs, and I'm like, okay, Weinbergs. And so then I started yelling that on the ice, and then the next meeting he's like, no, Weinbergs, van, like a van. And I thought it was Ven, like a car van, and then he went to Vane. So it's Vane Bergs, like okay. like ice in his. So we have a little bit of joke, ice in his veins. But he, you know, he's a powerful, powerful player. As you guys can see, he's big, he's smooth, heavy, heavy shot. He's, you know, coming back from the upper body injury at Christmas and injecting him in the lineup has been. I mean, we projected that, like, you know, from the summertime, and then we found out he was going to be injured. It was a big loss because you lose a center, an NHL draft pick with his size and abilities. And then it's hard, right? Like the treadmill's at 10, or I should say 8, if you want to max it out. Cause like you're hitting Christmas and guys are in full stride, structures in place. They understand what you're doing. And then you go into the second half, it hits a 10, and that's like, you know, everybody's jockeying for position. And now you're going to see a 12 here in playoffs. He jumped into that basically at a dead stop, right? Trying to get back up to speed. So credit to our physical therapist, athletic training, Marcin and Cody and Cam, they got him up to speed and everything you guys see there. I mean, we're excited about him having more time underneath him, right? He hasn't played a full season of college, right? It was at Christmas on and stuff yeah. like that. So we're lucky he got healthy. We're excited to have him in. And he's just, we call him, like, he's the Latvian Ivan Drago. Cause he just looks like that. He's a handsome chap and he's like very well put together. But he's growing and he's still got a lot of potential and growth ahead of him. Cause like I said, he hasn't even played a full season of college. You know what I mean? So awesome stuff. Yeah. Tampa draft pick. Yep.
All right, Paul, you still awake? Maybe he's not. Maybe he's on mute.
Maybe he is. Yeah.
Maybe I am. The time difference hasn't gotten to me yet, though. No, awake, whatever. I think that this team obviously is just getting to the tip of the iceberg. When I look at this team, I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, this team is so many freshmen and sophomores leading it. At least in terms of on the ice numbers and things. Do they understand, and I'm sure that the older guys, the Chase Foleys and the Jack Millars and the Stanley Cooleys are like, hey guys, playtime is over. We're about to hit the postseason and this is another level and you guys need to be ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Mayo and the staff, we had a really good conversation about that with in respect to the essence of every game down the stretch here. And we didn't want to hide anything. We wanted to be upfront about right. it, but we didn't want to constantly keep talking about it, right? So weeks back we said, hey, this is the position we're in. This is like what we 20 wins, you know, one of those things. This finish here in right. conference. That puts us in a good place. And we know like nothing changes going into the postseason. Like you have to win, but like
right.
we would have wanted to win no matter what. So it's not, there's no difference. It's the perspective on how you look at it, right? It's a must win. Yeah. We didn't go to the first round of playoffs not to win. So it's not a big deal. Like we're just staying as even keeled as it is. Of we're here to win. We're here to do our job. We're here to focus on our game plan and it's a new season. You know, like you said, and our seniors are talking about that here, where it's like those last, you saw the last couple of games, our right. last four games, any turnover can end up in the back of your net. Where in regular season, some of that stuff kind of flies by or whatever.
Right.
But essentially, to your point, things are tighter. Things happen quicker. And that means that we have to do the same thing. We have to play a little tighter in our system. We have to be smarter with our decisions. And that's definitely been voiced and we're really intentional and focused on our opponent this week in the sense of this is who we got and we're focusing on what we need to do to be successful. So it's been a really good focus driven 2 days that we're excited about how we're approaching this playoff series. So,
well, and you kind of doubled the answer because I was really specifically talking about, you know, after the Denver weekend because you get so amped up for a rivalry series.
Yep.
That you almost, I don't want to say automatically come down, But Omaha's not Denver.
Right.
And even though the math says you guys are 80% in, that's not 100%. But at the same time, maintaining the consistency, I assume, is from that rivalry weekend into this weekend is what you guys are working on as a coaching staff, trying to make sure they understand that.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we – like, this was a main topic that we said too, which everybody battles with, right, is mm-hmm. Everything is noise.
Right.
And people want to focus on what you did or what you can do, and our focus is on what we do. And so that's what we've really just keyed it on. So, you know, when we swept North Dakota, oh my gosh, we're top 10, you know, blah, 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 whatever, highest ranking. And it was like, everybody's focused on what you did, and we're going right back to work and focusing on what we need to do. And the Denver series was interesting because, like, our program on our side is trying to prove that we're competitive in that rivalry, right? Everybody gets it. We know where it's been over the last 5-6 years. So that's been the focus. Can we get in there and mix it up? You know, can we make this an even back and forth? But that wasn't our focus. We just were like, it's another weekend. We just had to play this team and then this team and this team. And they're all special in their own ways. That's why we're in the NCHC. So we wanted to make it another weekend, which, again, we focus on what we do and we go after the opponent. The rivalry is there, but we didn't want to over glorify it, just like a playoff series, right? So that we just stay right where we need to be with our approach, have that mindset in practice, and then we take it right into the game. So that's been what we really, you know, had our guys focused on, and that's what we do, and, you know, how we have our habits and what we care about, and that's our game plan. So that's a good point, because it was like the rivalry, I thought we didn't glorify. We just kept it as an important game, just like every other game, because that's college, right? You only play a handful of them, and they mean so much. So,
yeah, good stuff. So let me ask you about a sophomore, because this one, I hope you guys have taken away his phone. He doesn't allow to talk to his advisors. He's just locked up as a tiger. For the next that. 4 years, because next 2 years, in Noah Labba. I mean, no.
Leave him
this
there.
Kid
Leave him there.
He has exploded. He has exploded, Peter. He's just a man child. And can you just make sure that he stays in CC for another couple of years? That's it.
Yes.
That's all I'm asking. Not much, yeah. Right?
Me too.
Hey, we're asking the same thing, you know, like we're asking the same thing. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously we're fortunate to have him here. He's a special player. And, you know, we were just talking to an agent today, I should say family advisor, but they have,
it's they, NIL time. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody listens to our podcast.
but you see special players, step up in the second half, you know, and a big credit to him, like his second half, his end of the year, he's taken another level. Like you could see his speed against Denver. You could see his speed against North Dakota. Like he doesn't stop, you know, and Labs has that mentality from day one. It's just getting the confidence and growing and maturing as an individual. And that's what he's doing even here at the end of his sophomore year. So he's going to be, he'll sign with the New York Rangers at some point. We all know that.
Why?
I don't mean in the hopefully not in the foreseeable future. I'm just saying he will.
Well, I think he should play all 4 years. And
yes, I agree.
And
I agree.
Become a free agent.
Yeah.
Paul doesn't there's always anywhere near Madison Square Garden, by the way, as you can tell.
There's always a possibility of that. You can have leverage, you know. But like I'm saying, is he's going to have an opportunity to, again, like I talked about Wiz, like Labs is going to play at that highest level. And it's just been really cool to be a part of his life over his freshman, sophomore year. And, you know, we hope to keep that going and win a championship together before he moves on. So a lot of credit to him. He's a great kid. Great kid.
Peter, let me ask you this also. Is there anybody scarier in college hockey in overtime than Noah Labba? Because when you get into 3-on-3, five minutes, He usually takes care of business rather quickly.
Yes. He,
what's practice like when he's doing that 3-on-3 stuff? Is he just embarrassing guys or what?
No, when you watch him, it's not like anything, there's no one-on-one like through around. It's just his dynamic speed, right? Like he gets that speed. He finds a little bit of a lane in area and he just attacks it. And then the ability to have that in tight finish, like how about his goals there, his shorthanded goal against Everett. Jeez. That was unreal. That's crazy. Yeah. So, you know, the one thing I'd say about him is like in the beginning of the year, the puck and his feet were a little disconnected. Like it'd be so far in front of him that he'd be like almost like trying to chase the puck in front of him. And he wasn't able to like, you know, make those plays or attack the net. And then as time grew, it got tighter and closer. And now you can see he's able to like keep his head up, find those lanes, and he's been attacking them and finishing at the right time. So he buzzes around. Practice is no different. You know, you guys can imagine. And then that's why we do practice that, right? Like you practice your 3-on-3, give him some real, you know, as close reps as you can. And he does the same thing there. So, it's playoffs. Those things are very, very common. So you never know. Could come in handy for sure.
And, you know, you talk about that. So I thought he was more explosive on the one coming out of the penalty box earlier in the game.
Yep.
Than he was on the shorthanded goal, because it looked like they got him the puck, and the defenseman was even with him. And as you know, I forget who said it, but if I'm even, I'm leaving.
Yep.
And he just exploded past that blue line, and got that shorthanded out of the penalty box goal. It wasn't a shorthanded goal, but
yep. Yeah, so, I mean his speed's unbelievable. It's so much fun to watch. For sure.
Peter, let me ask you this. I'm going to beat Paul to the punch, but if there's one area where you guys have struggled at this year, and there hasn't been many, but if there's one, you know what I'm talking about. It's a power play. And now that it's finally starting to click a little bit, what's been the difference and how much work, honestly, have you guys put into that? Because I'm sure that had to be driving Mayo crazy with the power play numbers that you were struggling with earlier on in the year.
Yeah. I'll be first to admit that's something that that's what I work on with the guys. It's been
The one.
Yeah. There's you gotta wear it. Yeah. No, you gotta wear it for sure. I'll be the first to. But it's what you do with coaching. You gotta stay the course, right? And if you look at the journey of that special team, there was a lot of change early. We really do preach development. So early on the first several months, there was a lot of different positions. Like we could go through it. Burkholder was up top. Labo was on a flank. Wisdom was on a flank. Warner was in the hole. You usually had Brett Link as well was at the net front. He worked a little bit in the bumper. We had Logan Will at the net front. Now he's in the bumper. We were trying to figure out, because we're young and we're putting a lot of that on freshmen and sophomores, where we could place and mesh that in. Tyler Coffey was at a one-time spot for a while. And then that's when Vainbergs was out. But since we got Vainbergs back, we were able to put him in that one-time position on the one unit. And now you have Burkholder on the other side. And we found just good continuity and hands where they need to be in place. And that came when he came off injury, we could place them into a really solid spot. And really like the strategy and the practice didn't change, because internally, like I have all the statistics, we were really creating. We had probably like four or five called back. If you remember early in a lot of the games, guys were hitting posts. Remember the one in Minnesota, we got called for offsides, and then we went down and hit the crossbar with Willer right after. I mean, you're asking them to attack and find those opportunities, and they have. We just stuck with it. You know, you got to stick with it. You find the best group possible and then commit to it. And that's where we have been over the last several months. It's a little bit of a patient game to have poise, not blow things up, because those numbers are numbers, but the most important part of those numbers is to answer when you need to, which is at the end of the year, right? Like in these important games. and we were winning without their production, which was obviously helpful, especially for me because I couldn't sleep at night a lot of times going through. But you go through that where it's like, okay, we're okay. But our offensive numbers were a little low too. If you look at the conference, like our production from an offensive standpoint, so that bleeds into the power play. But steady, stick with it, find the right group. And then they're working really hard too, and they listen, and the chemistry's formed. So that's kind of where it is. You just hope that it continues on here for our run, because you guys remember the great power play goal Hunter had and the frozen face off to beat Denver. Like those things are gonna be game changers. So we'll boys are ready. I feel there's a lot of passion in it and a lot of care for each other, and that's all you can ask for. So
and by the way, people wanna, the last time we spoke, I believe the power play was at about 10%, and that was about halfway through the season. Yeah. It takes a lot to move it up almost 6 percentage points that late into the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys were at about 10%, and now you guys are at about 16%, which means you got a lot of power play goals over the second half of the season. So, right. You know, and we all know playoffs, it's always about special teams.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. 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 Hit stride at the right time. We've really kind of just made the focus about beating their power play, and that's it. Just go from there. So, I the biggest thing to end on that is just, I'm really proud of our group. You know, they've had good poise through it. They haven't put the additional pressure on. I've tried to keep that away and keep their focus on just getting better and focusing on their setup, their weapons that each one of them are. And we pre-scout, we have some attack plans. You can see we've had some fun breakouts with flying guys. Lab had that full out breakaway off the fly against Denver there. We almost scored off that. So change is good, right? Tweaking things and keeping them engaged, but there are special offensive guys. So I'm proud of them. We're going to keep pushing here to do better, and hopefully it impacts in the right way.
All right. So let me ask you about your goaltenders, and then I'll give Paul a question again.
No, you won't. But that's okay.
Caden Sponge has been off the charts. I mean, I think he's the best goaltender in the country. I think if he doesn't win the Richter, it's a travesty. You've seen great goaltenders. You were a great goaltender in this league. You know what it takes. When we had Caden on, he was, you know, typical Caden, right? It was, ho-hum, yeah, I'm just doing my job as part of the team. But this kid is really good, and I got a feeling that Henry Wilder coming on board and Jake Bagley have both pushed him to be better and better every day, because I know the way you guys work in practice. I've seen enough of them. So if you can, how good is Caden, and how much more room does he have to get better?
Yeah, very special. Very, very special. His two-year journey was incredible. I mean, to see the accolades. I mean, I don't know how many goalies of the month and goalie of the week he's won. It's been like crazy.
Peter, I asked him. I asked him what he was doing with all of them, and he said, "I don't know. I don't even care."
Yeah, yeah. He got the award. When was that? It was like a couple months ago. One of them, but they like. I shouldn't say this, but they like combine them on the one trophy. So he'll have dates on one of them. I'm like, well, that's kind of cheesy, you know, and he's laughing.
So much room on the shelf.
That's right. That's right. So they kind of do that. But like, I think they're running out of how to put him on one trophy, because he's got like 2, 3, 4. And how do you do that? So listen, he's the example of when you invest in yourself and you put time into everything in your craft, you'll see the results. He would be considered what, like an undersized goalie, but his athleticism's bigger than anyone's. His competitiveness is bigger than anyone's. And those are major attributes. And he pours into that in our video sessions, when he's taking notes, to when he's on the ice for goalie sessions, to when he has his full out routine that's been in place for many years for him. Like, he's all in. And when you do that and you're prepared, you can go into a game confident. And that's what he does. And that gives our team confidence. That's raised this program to a higher level. Obviously, everybody's seen that. And I agree. You know, he's at the top. He's at the top. Henry and Beggs, they just feed off that. You know, they know how special he is. Their relationship's incredible. Our goalie sessions are awesome. You know, it's like peer on peer growth. And it makes, you know, when you do work with the goalies, it makes it great that, that people are all in, they commit to it. And, you know, we're fortunate for that 100%, all three of the guys, and obviously Caden kind of leading the way in that sense. And, we just talked today, you know, it's nothing else matters. It's a new season. And we focus on the, you know, 3-4 things that we always do every week, and we're ready to take that right against UNO when they come in here on Friday. So,
well, just so you know, I'm still on my goalie kick. I'm still on my, I don't understand why these guys go down so darn fast, but, all right, so when you guys played Omaha, now I don't know how much film you go back and look at from the previous series that you guys played, about 3 weeks ago at Omaha. Do you bother to look at that? Because that was kind of a weird series where I thought you guys were the better team on the Friday, even though you lost a game. And you got into the shootout the next night where Embarico stayed on, you know, stood on his head and got you guys a point in that second game. Do you guys look at that much as you get ready for this weekend, or do you just look at things, specific things, regardless of who the opponent was at the time or where you're going, to try to make sure that those, whatever you're pointing out, either happens or the mistakes don't happen?
It's good. It's a good question, because we go through that every week. Early in the year is a little bit of a battle, because it's like there's the approach of a pre-scout and right. I guess the word, like, adjusting to who you're playing versus focusing completely on being the best version of yourself, because it's what we need to do as a group, right? Like, you can't say you're going to do this and this against this team and be like, does that work for us? Like, because this is, we need to know who we are and what we're really good at, right, and create that identity. So it's been a really fun coaching navigation as a group, right? Just to staying focused. This is what we do great. And then this is what they do, so we can adjust here and there and keep our focus on, like I told you, on what we do, on us.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we've broken that series down that week after that we played them, for the, because you always do a review and then you always prepare yourself, right, for what's right, the weekend. So it's just no different than with Embarico. Like, we'll review the weekend, what they did, because we prep that week with a couple tendencies that UNO will throw at them. And then we'll review that, and then we'll turn the page and then prep for the next team. So we've already done that with UNO on that weekend, where we revisit that. It's playoff week, so it's a little more intentional. It heightens the playoff games. So we've done a little bit of that, but it's not even against us. It's their, you know, they've played hockey since then, right? They had a nice weekend, right, against North Dakota. So we're watching all that stuff, going through everything. I'm watching special teams, you know, and stuff like that. So I would assume every staff is doing the same thing. So we will dissect it. We'll stay focused on our great, you know, attributes and what makes us a good team and having success. But we have our tweaks, we have our adjustments. It's a different rink. You know, I've coached at UNO. Their end zones are deep. They're very deep. They play a lot of home games, you know, and you go there, it's different. It's kind of similar in a way to the Air Force arena. They're deep end zones, tight neutral zone. So it'll be different. This is our barn. We're really focused on, you know, kind of playing right back to what we need to do, and we'll tweak a few things. But I guess the answer is all of the above, but really staying true to our identity, really staying true to us, because we led the one game there all the way till however many minutes, you know. So that's kind of like, let's be real about these games. You know, it wasn't like it was just like 7-1. Like, we led that game for a long time, but we in reality, we weren't happy with our effort. They played really well. They competed, but we weren't happy with our effort. But we really did put ourselves in a position there to win that as close as we could. So you take the good, you focus on some growth areas, put it into a recipe here of practice planning, and that's where we're at. So
the other related question that popped into my head, I know in football that they have all these graduate assistants and they break down second by second of plays and all of the, I assume that some of that happens in college hockey. As you get ready for a playoff game, will you guys look a little bit more on your own, or just kind of continue that same sort of metric and Venn diagram, so to speak?
Yeah, no, it's been the same routine.
Okay.
Yeah, we, you know, every staff is different. Like, I'm sure Gregory Powers and Hixie have a routine on how they want to, you know, he breaks us down, he'll do this. This person's delegated to do pre-scouts, blah, 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 blah. Right. Like,
right.
We have our routine. We have our staff members that do, 5-on-5. We obviously have our special teams. You guys roasted me about the power play already. Thank you. I'm kidding. But you see what I mean? Like, we'll have our, Mayo does a great job of delegating those areas. And then, so we have that, and, it's been the same. It's the same this week.
Okay.
We made a little adjustment, maybe spread out a little bit of, some pre-scout stuff throughout the week versus just like one day, because again, very intentional, very focused. This is who we play. This is what they do. A little different, but I think it's a different week, right? Like you said, the intensity and the level is going to be to that. So we want to prepare that way. You know, we want to have a very intentional everyday approach to the series because of the severity of it. So that's kind of how it is, but every staff is different. And we have a fun routine here. So
Peter, I want to ask you two final ones for me. I had the chance, when I was in California to, see Luke Rowe from Air Force. You've seen him a few times. Mm-hmm. And the transition that he made from Air Force and college hockey to the American Hockey League was ridiculous. I told him, I said, you make it look so seamless. And he goes, yeah, it's really not. I'm going like, yeah, I don't care what it is. You made it look seamless. And what does that say about college hockey? And a guy from Air Force gets an opportunity, jumps right into the lineup. He was in the starting lineup the first two games I saw him. He scores a game-winning goal from half ice. I mean, yeah. What are your thoughts on that jump? That's number one. And then number two is, can you guys just get to the frozen faceoff so I can see you there and then get on to the NCAA tournament? Because I got black and gold pom-poms to shake somewhere. And if it could be Sioux Falls or it could be St. Louis, I would love you guys.
I mean, we're on the same page there, right? Like, we're both rooting for the same thing. That's the plan. And like I said, our, you know, guys are in a good mindset. We feel pretty darn good about, you know, where guys are and how their approach is, but we'll do our best. It's great to hear. Like, that's what college you hope is really proving, that no matter where you play and the level, that you're at, like, it's going to prepare you to jump into the American League, to the NHL, to whatever level it is professionally. And yeah, he's a heck of a player, and that's great to see him have that success, you know, like that coming out of college. But they train hard. That's a real deal, right? That's a real deal. So when you get there, it's almost probably it's probably less. He's like, yeah, we did 10 times that, you know, with hockey and stuff. So good for him, and you know, everybody that moves on. Yeah. That's what you hope college does, right? So you don't get there and blink. You're like, we did a lot of this, right? So that's it.
Peter, I asked him what the biggest difference was off the ice, and he goes, "That's a good question, but easy answer." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "I have all kinds of free time now."
Said, yes,
in college at the Air Force, especially, everything was regimen for us. He goes, "Now they just kind of trust you to do your thing, and as long as it doesn't affect the way you're playing the ice, you're good to go." So he's loving free time after being 4 years at Air Force.
Yeah, it's a different life. You try and tell guys that, you're like, hey man, you got to try and come up with stuff, because you know, you're on your own. You're a pro, right? It's your job, and you literally clock in and you clock out, and then you have like the rest of the day to do whatever you want. And it's an adjustment. Like, you know, guys take up different hobbies and things, reading books and stuff like that, to keep their mind, you know, engaged and stimulated, because you miss the schooling part of it, right? And you miss the regimen of it all. It's great because you've now proven that you're professionally driven and committed to doing one thing, you know, from an athletic standpoint. And it's a lot. Like, you know, it's so much when you're there at the rink for the 3-4 hour window, depending on the day. Like, it's the highest level. It is intense. It's strong. It's fast. And, you know, you got to learn how to balance that, because you do have a lot of free time, you know, and guys that have families too, like there's a different intangible to that. Right. So, that's cool. Yeah. No, I mean, he's probably watching a lot of movies and cruising the mall quite a bit too. So
do the malls even exist anymore? I don't even know.
Yeah. I don't know. That's good. Maybe outlet malls. I don't know.
He's in Ontario, California. Yeah. So he's all good. There's no work.
Yeah. Beach hanging out.
Well,
sure.
Well, he's hanging out with Scott at the beach when he goes there.
Yes.
What he's doing.
Yes. I could. Is that a Speedo look for you there, Scott? Or what do you usually
yes.
No, absolutely no. Not.
No, I shirts. Think it is. He just four doesn't want to admit it.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So now that I have absolutely lost all train of thought thinking of Scott and a Speedo, thanks.
You're welcome. Yes, you're welcome.
I now need to wash my eyes out. I don't know what the heck I have to do here. But. Just from watching, you know, what video I saw and just getting a feel from reading stuff from CC fans before last weekend, major buzz on campus last weekend before that game on Friday night, national TV, the whole routine. Is that buzz on steroids this weekend?
Yeah, you would think so. Like, just the way... you would feel that after that series, after the regular season, because we took a second there to
right
sit as a group and talk to the guys and say, hey, 20 wins, you host home ice, like, that's a lot of work.
Right. Know, well, I meant the campus itself.
Yeah, no, and all that, like, they hear that, they see that. And you know, because you have like the local paper, right? The Gazette right. did a really nice job. Obviously, on campus, people are all talking about it. They're very excited. They got playoff hockey right here. You know, here's your dorm. Here's playoff hockey. Here's it's really cool for them as a student body to have this here. At their fingertips, and they're really excited. It's all over campus. You see it quite a bit. And we've actually had a lot of pop-ins from like faculty and some students and people in the area for practice the last mm-hmm. couple, which you don't, you know, people are working or whatever, but
right.
anymore they're swinging into, you know, see what things, how guys are preparing. So yeah, there's definitely some extra energy to what's coming here this weekend.
There's that jack you guys up as coaches as much as you try to keep an even keel.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all are in this to watch guys win, you know, get guys right. in position and see them have an opportunity to do something special as a group together. You know, at the end of the day, we want to have very successful seasons, but it's not about, you know, achieving home. Like, we want to win a championship. When you go
of course.
When you do that and you have that as the end goal, little things like that are checked off. You know what I mean? And that becomes the norm. And that's what we're trying to do, is like, yeah, we're going to win 20 wins. Yeah, we're going to be, you know, fighting for home ice. Like, that's the level you want to be the norm. And then it's not talked about that way. It's just like, yep, we're in playoffs again. We're going for a championship, you know, and that's like the belief in the program that, like, it's there. And so I guess from our side of things, we're really excited. You know, like, it's been 3 years of recruiting and grinding, and we've had you know, the first year we didn't win a lot, right? Like, we remember sitting on that right. bench. We've been through those games. We don't forget sure. that. Mayo and I look at each other and we'll reminisce all the time and be like, yeah, I remember this or that, and how hard the guys were working, and they came up short. Like, last year, remember, everybody was talking about the winless streak at the end of the game, at the end of the year, you know, the winless streak, but our guys were playing good hockey. And just, you remember all those things, and you just try and use them to channel these results that we're having now. So it's rewarding. it's rewarding, but it's motivating at the same time, because you just want more. You want more for the guys, and you want the program to keep rising. So it's been great.
Peter, we thank you as always for your time and being so candid. I will leave you on this note. I'm in St. Louis for the ACHA National Tournament. The championship game is tonight. And I'm looking over in the lobby, and all of a sudden I see this big JOG, J-O-G, jersey display. And the first one that jumps out at me is the Tigers.
Nice.
So it's hanging out there, man. It's just the omen is there.
Which one is it? Which one do we got? The whites or the golds?
It's the white one with the big tiger on the front. Oh, yep. Got it. Looked good. It looked really good. And everybody's commenting. They're going like, "That's Colorado College," and I'm going like, "Yep, that's it."
Nice. All right. Yep.
Get this thing done this weekend. We'll see you in St. Paul. I'm that confident. And then see if you can get it arranged to be either be in Sioux Falls or St. Louis. It's much easier travel for me, but I'm going to be with the Tigers. I'm telling you that right now.
Yep. But Paul, every time they do the announcement now and they say, "You're Tigers," I think of Scott every time.
Oh, man. That's
literally.
I feel really bad.
You know how many times I've said that? I have said that millions of times to everybody. I can't say Colorado College without Tigers.
I feel so bad for you that he's got to enter your mind right before a game. Jeez.
It's like that Speedo image of him. Like, I have it in my head.
Oh, God. Again.
It's got to be like a bright yellow Speedo, too. Like the tiger color, right?
Like Jericho's Crocs.
Exactly.
Yellow and black, baby. Just bring it on. Thanks so much for your time, man. I appreciate it on such short notice. I know I texted you and I didn't beg, but close. Coming on. We appreciate it. See you in St. Paul, because I know you guys are getting it done this weekend.
Guys, I always appreciate the time. I appreciate everything you guys do for the program. And shout out to Mr. Coffee, as usual. And we will see you guys soon. We'll see you soon for sure.
All right, Peter. That's the associate head coach from Colorado College, Peter Menino, joining us today. Paul and I are going to be right back in just a couple minutes to wrap up another episode of College Hockey West Weekly.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at nchc.tv. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on nchc.tv.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Kale McCarr.
He scores.
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness.
CollegeHockeyInc.com and follow at College Hockey.
Coming to you from the NCHC.TV studios, ITHSW Podcast presents College Hockey West Weekly.
Indeed, it is College Hockey West Weekly. Scott Strandy with you tonight in beautiful Maryland Heights, Missouri, just outside of St. Louis, as we prepare for an ACHA National Championship game. UNLV Skating Rebels, for the first time, will do battle with Adrian College to see who walks away at the top spot in the non-varsity, the non-NCAA stage of college hockey. But, Paul, don't let me sell them short. These are some talented hockey players that put in a lot of effort, and you know that as well, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
From what you see out on Long Island, New York.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know, it's weird. The gap is still large, but the level of play is closer than it's ever been.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we've seen ACHA and teams and play NCAA teams, and we know there's a large gap. But the level of play of those teams is far better than it was 5 or 6 years ago, pre-pandemic. And, you know, you're talking about, as we've discussed with other people, a lot of these players could have played Division III hockey at the NCAA level. Chose to go a different route, you know. And some of these players did come from Division III.
Yeah, I was going to just say that. Some did come and decided that the AACHA route was for them.
You know,
and that's not to take away from the AAU route. That's
also
very good.
Right. I said, well, yeah, I also said that you ought to get a championship series going between the two, but I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. But
no, you're a dreamer. Just like somebody I thought quoted something on Twitter today that X, if they want
to
be correct, that you're looking forward and dreaming about a West Coast NCAA conference. Keep dreaming. It's a decade or more away, at least. Maybe never.
Well,
anyway,
you know.
I want to finish up by saying, first of all, Peter Menino is so good.
Love it.
I texted him this afternoon, and he says, absolutely. And you know my affection for that program. And Omaha, don't think that this is personal, because it's not. Yeah. I love you guys as well, North Dakota, Denver, all those teams. But anybody that can't get an affection for Colorado College and Coach Mayotte and Menino and Lidgett and Ogilvie, for all that they have done in just 3 short years.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember, Paul, where this was when Coach Mayotte came on board as a head coach.
Yeah.
And 3 short years, they're challenging for not only playoff stuff, but for a national championship. This team is scary good. If they put it all together in a one-and-done series, I'm not counting them out.
No, I you know, people are going to look at the various at the bracket when it comes out, and people are going to sit there and I get it, to talk about the obvious choices, so to speak, the BCs and the BUs and you know, never count, you know, the champs are still the champs until they get, you know, knocked off in Quinnipiac, and those kinds of teams. But in a one and done, this team is very dangerous. They're going to get overlooked by the public anyway. I don't want to sit here and say they'll get overlooked.
Not by the teams. By the coaches. Not anymore.
But, you know, the general public, so to speak, will you know, will overlook. Like, CC, who are they?
Yeah.
You know? You know, and this is a team that was barely finished in seventh place in Chris Mayotte's first year. They were 1 point ahead of Miami with an overall record of 9-24-3 to this year, where they had a shot at second place in the conference regular season.
And a real shot. It came down legit. The last weekend.
Yeah, literally did. Yes, yes. Came down. If they'd have won Saturday night and swept that series, they would have finished in second place. And finished the season with a 20-11-3 record. So,
and by the way, they're the only team, I believe, in college hockey to sweep North Dakota at North Dakota and at Ed Robeson. Nobody else would have played them at Ed Robeson anyway. But
well, but yeah, but they went 4-0 against North Dakota, and you know, I think that's the only time that's ever happened, right?
I think
we're
so.
Pretty darn close to it.
Yeah,
at least for four games, anyway. Maybe, yeah, obviously it's a pretty, 2-game series, but.
And let's round it out by saying the NCHC, again, proving its dominance in college hockey is you watch guys shoot up, or teams shoot up the pairwise, as much as I hate that pairwise and the way that they play it. Colorado College is moving up. They have moved up. Omaha's moved up. St. Cloud has hung in there. Western has hung in there. Denver, North Dakota. I mean, Paul, you really could have been looking at six. You still might, because if somebody outside of the pairwise number wins the NCHC, ooh, man, it's not going to happen. It's going to be five.
Two or three weeks ago, we were talking about three teams.
Yeah.
For the NCHC getting in, you know, through the pairwise and not the automatic. Now you're looking at the possibility of five or six, depending on how it breaks down.
Yep, absolutely. And remember what I said before the pairwise final numbers or rankings come out. I think there's going to be at least three AQs, maybe four. So don't be surprised, folks, if you see some teams that you wanted to get into the tournament get bumped out completely. We know there's one team that's not even going to get a sniff with 24 wins, but that's for another story. Battle.
Yeah.
That's another battle.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, take it away.
From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Weekly has been brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue in Las Vegas, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style. Go to jesseraysbarbecue.com to order lunch, cater an event, or pick up a few bottles of our award-winning sauces. For the NCHC and NCHC.TV, subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group. Search T. Grand Rudd on Redbubble.com and have us create that unique design for your business or gift-giving needs. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly. Three locations, two in Tempe, one in Pine Top at TheSpaghettiShack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos worldwide. It's where the action is, in the resort or in town. FedEx, the official package delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. Liberty University, hockey education and faith with equal passion at liberty.edu. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. College Hockey West Weekly and all of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app. Help others find the podcasts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the shows at ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word, on your favorite podcast platform. College Hockey West Weekly and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I have a championship game to attend to. I'm sure you've got the TV locked in on something. So we
we'll feed the dogs.
Allen is playing tonight?
No, they played last night in L.A.
Oh, okay. Anyway, keep up to date on our Twitter account, on the Instagram, and cheer on these guys tonight from UNLV and Adrian. They both earned it. They're both partners with us, and couldn't be more proud to say we have two partners playing for a championship. And Paul, by the way, they're both champions. No matter how this ends, they're both champions.
Oh, well, listen, I mean, that's you know, I'm sure it'll be a very exciting game. Hopefully four or five overtimes, maybe. That'd be even nicer.
Shush. Can we just end it in 60 minutes?
No.
Just 60 minutes. All right. All right, we'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, De Niro. By the way, the hottest betting line tonight is will the music man, Andy Storrs, will he decide to play Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, Hello New Day one more time? We'll find out. That's the hottest betting line right now. Forget about the game. It's about will Roger Klein and the Peacemakers make another appearance at the ACHA National Championship game. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.